Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Thomas Garcia, 229-529.
Okay, Mr. Garcia, I believe that the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, so just give her a few moments and we'll be ready to go, sir. But let me make one phone call as well.
Yeah, we have a phone.
Yeah, I do need to make a phone call. I believe it's to your wife, I think.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Hello?
Yes, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing this morning for your husband. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're just going to ask you to hold on, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will be conducting the hearing, and she will call on you at the appropriate time. So just hold on to the phone. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sir, can you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is Thomas Edward Garcia, 229-539.
All right. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you as well.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on September 14th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And that form listed your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. There are four of us today, and if you look on the monitor, you'll see far to my far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable David Neal. In the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White. Right next to me is the Honorable Mr. Louis Quinones, and I'm Gail Rittenhouse. I'm going to be the panel chair for this hearing.
Please meet you all.
Thank you. Also present, we have with us Mr. Osborne, who's a community corrections officer with Department of Corrections, and you should be able to see him now. He is representing the department and your parole officer today.
Nice to meet you as well.
Thank you. Before we get started, I need to swear you in as well as Ms. Garcia on the phone. So Mr. Garcia, Ms. Garcia, and Mr. Osborne, do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Garcia?
I do.
Ms. Garcia?
I do.
And Mr. Osborne?
Ma'am, I do, and I think there was a DR with this report.
I just noticed that too, so thank you for pointing that out. Mr. Garcia, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one is to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and phase two is to determine if that supervision should be continued or revoked. So I'm going to read information from your warrant, and as I read each allegation to you, I need you to respond. We actually just have the one, but I note that there are charges pending of some type here. So you will actually have three choices of response today. One of the choices is the allegation true, is it false, or do you prefer to remain silent given that there's the additional charges? And the reason we offer you that option is this hearing is being recorded, and if there are charges, court proceedings concerning this, these additional charges, the prosecutor or your attorney could subpoena this tape, this recording, and use it for whatever they need to use that for. So your options are true, false, or remain silent as I read this allegation. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So here's the allegation from warrant number 2017 W2760. It's, allegation is that you violated the conditions of supervision and lapsed or probably about to lapse in criminal ways or company by violating condition of supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in sexually assaultive behavior on or about December 22nd, 2016 in Pima County, Tucson, Arizona. Mr. Garcia, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
That's false.
It's false. All right. So, Mr. Chairman, will you then take testimony?
Yes, ma'am.
We take testimony. We'll have some testimony from Mr. Osborne and Mr. Osborne, if you will.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number 1. On February 9th, 2017, at approximately 23:08 hours, Glendale Police Department Officer Baston, badge number 16581, and Officer K. Hunter, badge number 16887, responded to a 911 call at the location of 5712 North 67th Avenue, apartment number 230 in Glendale, Arizona. According to Glendale Police Department, the offender's girlfriend, Mahogany Jones, and Thelma Taylor, the victim, began to fight at 5712 North 67th Avenue, apartment number 230 in Glendale, Arizona. While fighting, offender Garcia, ADC number 274782, came in and punched Thelma Taylor in the right side of her face with his right hand. The victim, Thelma Taylor, reports that the offender threatened to kill her and her 2-year-old male child while pointing a .45 caliber black and silver handgun at them. Another armed subject intervened to assist Thelma, so the offender left and was reported to be fleeing the scene in a black Chrysler 300 vehicle. Upon arrival to the scene, Officer Baston, badge number 16581, observed a black Chrysler 300 leaving the area and conducted a high-risk traffic stop. After talking to Officer Baston, badge number 16581, Officer Hunter, badge number 16887, learned that the offender was in the vehicle and they observed a handgun in the glove box within reach of the offender. When Officer Hunter, badge number 16887, described the handgun, it was consistent with the handgun the victim described. The victim, Thelma Taylor, was taken to the traffic stop and positively identified Thomas Garcia and Mahogany Jones as being involved. The offender was arrested on one count of domestic violence and was booked into the Maricopa County Jail. Booking number T339974.
Excuse me, sir. That's not me.
Yes.
Yes, we, Mr. Garcia, we have. Is it possible that we have the wrong Thomas Garcia? Is this a Thomas Garcia? Would you again give us your ADC number?
229539.
Because our the warrant of arrest that we have has a different statement.
And this time I had, usually it's the other way around the warrant. I have the. I have 274782, Chris Garcia, and
so we have.
We're supposed to have 229539.
Correct.
Plus, we have the statement for 229539. At least in our package is.
We have. Right. We have it, but evidently.
You do not.
You have the wrong one.
I'm with 229. But I can bring up the right one on my computer.
If you would, right, please. One, if
I could do that, or if I could borrow one of yours.
You could certainly borrow.
That way.
Yeah.
I apologize, Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Garcia, for your patience. You know, boy, did I forget all of that, huh? Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry, I have to say something. That's not him. That's, you guys are reading the wrong page.
Yes,
ma'am.
We'll get the right one.
We're going to get the right one just in a few seconds, a few moments. So just hold on.
All right, thank you.
But that's not today, is it? Because we're the one Garcia today, don't we?
You only
have
one today.
There was another one
that
crossed out for another day.
Yeah,
there's only one today.
How unusual.
Okay,
sorry.
So now Mr. Osborne is going to read the correct one, and so let's forget the other one. So we're starting over in terms of this testimony.
Here you go. We're starting over. Mr. Osborne.
229539. Okay. Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Allegation number 1. On August 4th of 2017, this officer was notified that the offender was arrested on August 2nd of 2017 for a sexual assault domestic violence charge, which occurred on December 22nd of 2016. Per information from the Tucson Police Department, the victim reported that she had picked up the offender to go to the casino on December 21st of 2016 at approximately 9 p.m. They stopped by a liquor store and purchased alcoholic beverages, which they both consumed during the night. In the early hours of the morning on December 22nd of 2017, the offender drove the victim to a Walmart, and the victim noticed she was missing $372 from her wallet. She confronted the offender about the missing money, but he claimed he did not take her money. They began to argue, and the victim asked the offender to exit her vehicle. The offender exited the vehicle, but then got into the passenger side seat after she moved over to the driver's side seat. The victim drove to a Pizza Hut parking lot in the area and made a phone call to the father of her children to ask to look for her money. After hanging up the phone, she started yelling at the offender and demanded that he return her money. The offender leaned over and grabbed the victim by her arms and applied pressure. He moved his body toward her, pulled the seat back, and began to lay on top of her on the driver's seat. He then pulled her hair. She yelled at him to get off of her. The offender replied, "You are not going to be leading me on. You're my girl, and I'll do whatever I want." He pulled her leggings down as he was touching himself and kissing her chest. The victim stated, "Don't do that." The offender replied, "You are going to listen to me. I can do whatever I want because you are pregnant with my baby." He pulled his pants down and thrust his penis into the victim's vagina for approximately 3 to 4 minutes. The victim yelled at him to stop, attempting to push him off, and hit him several times. The offender told her to stop, stating that she liked it. The victim opened the car door, and the offender got off her, pulled up his pants, and exited the vehicle. The victim pulled up her leggings, which were ripped, and followed the offender, asking why he disrespected her. They both returned to the vehicle, and the offender grabbed some items he had left in the vehicle. When the victim got back in the vehicle, her phone was not on the seat where she left it. She drove to the Circle K to put air in the tire and get gas for her car. She then drove to the Fowler of her children's home to borrow sweatpants because she had to go to work. The victim advised her ex-boyfriend that she was raped and she left her ripped leggings at his home. When she got to her employment on December 22nd of 2016, she called the police to report the incident. On May 30th of 2017, the case was closed pending forensics. On August 2nd of 2017, a stop and arrest was issued for the offender. He was arrested at his residence later that day and transported to Pima County Jail, where he was booked for sexual assault, domestic violence, and felony.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Garcia, you've stated this is false, and since this may be connected to the pending charges here, Mr. Osborne will
respond. Yes, I do have stats and charges with the correct Thomas Garcia.
Thank you.
Dated from Stephanie Erickson, Senior Prosecutor Stephanie Erickson, dated Thursday, September 28th, 2017. Charges were dropped by the county attorneys on August 28th, 17th.
Okay, thank you.
And again, it's for Mr. Thomas Garcia, 229-539.
All right, well, thank you. So you heard that, and those charges have been dropped. For the purposes of moving this hearing forward, I am going to make a motion that based on information provided by Mr. Osborne, for the correct Mr. Thomas Garcia, 229-539 is the ABC number, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal waste or company.
Second.
Agree.
I agree.
Now, Mr. Garcia, we'll move into phase two of your hearing. And we're now going to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne gives us some additional information, and we'll be right back with you momentarily. Thank you. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Garcia, DOC number 229539, was released from DOC custody on November 14th of 2016. He was arrested on August 2nd of 2017 by the Tucson Police Department for felony charges of sexual assault and domestic violence. He was returned back to our custody on August 29th of 2017, with 0 scum days, with a community supervision end date of February 10th of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, aggravated DUI, 7 years. And there are 4 counts of the aggravated DUI, all 7 years. Prior convictions, 2008, endangerment, 1 year, and 2008, theft, 1 year. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is no STG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2008, TIS release, completion, 4 months. Is a moderate disciplinary history with alcohol noted. Other arrests, 1998, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ juvenile probation. 2005, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2007, armed robbery, AZ felony conviction, probation. 2007, kidnapping, AZ unknown. And 2008, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of G3B4, and as stated earlier, staff's charged by Senior Parole Officer Stephanie Erickson, dated Thursday, September 28th of 2017. The charges have been dropped by the county attorney's office as of August 28th of 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. And back to you, Mr. Garcia. It looks like when you were released, you were approved to live at 2119 South Miramonte Avenue in Tucson. And then later, it looks like you moved to 3635 North Shepherd Place in Tucson. How long did you live at those locations?
I lived at my brother's house at 2119 for a couple months, and then after that, like 4 months, and then after that, I moved with my wife, and we got our house in 3635
North Shepherd. Okay. All right, thank you. And that's the only two places that you lived while you were on supervision?
Yeah, that's correct, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And it looks like you were working for a place called Auto Glass, and then also a place called Interfab. What's Auto Glass an Auto Glass replacement company?
It's called the Life Auto Glass. It's a windshield replacement, tinting windows, stuff like that.
Okay. And Interfab, what's Interfab?
Interfab is they build the pools for the backyards, the water slides, the railings.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting. All right. And it looks like you were referred for your analysis, and it looks like 8 times they were negative, which is great. And then 1 time there was one that was diluted on March 22nd, and then there was one on 2 different times on March 16th and April 28th. That you didn't submit a urine sample. Why didn't you submit samples?
I apologize on that. I just didn't call in. I didn't. My mind was somewhere else.
Okay.
Working.
All right. And just looking at the current offense and some other another offense from your past. Do you have a problem with alcohol?
Yeah, I didn't want to mix it up. I'm just taking it one day at a time, and I'm just doing my best to stay away from that belt. My downfall in life, and I don't want that no more. It's just reasoning and some negative situations.
Have you participated in any treatment, or?
I have. I've been doing treatment as well as I'm in here. Got 2 certificates, and I'm working on a 3rd one for AA and NA, and going to church and doing anything possible to make myself better for society.
Okay, all right, thank you. to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you.
Mr. Quinones.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Garcia?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question, and it's more of a curiosity. I'm not really trying to press the issue on a case that was dropped, but is the individual who is speaking on the phone with us today the individual that was the supposed victim of this charge?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Neal? No. All right. Well, let me see if I had any more questions. I don't think I do, but let's hear from Ms. Garcia. Did you want to say anything to the board?
Yes, I would. I did submit a letter from his employer stating that they will be more than happy to rehire him. And I did submit a letter from myself also. I was just wondering if you did receive those.
Yes, the board members got those, and we've had ample time to read them. They're right here.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I hope you do consider what I had to say and consider that his employer is, you know, willing to go ahead and rehire my husband. I know my husband has a rough-looking past, but I think he would benefit from being a positive father and a positive role model for his children, and be a working husband and helping me out with our bills and that I am desperately behind on. So please consider everything when we make this decision that we desperately need him back home. I am working and trying to support us, but it's very, very difficult. We love him. We need him back home. Thank you.
Oh, understood. Thank you. Thank you for testifying. And do any of the board have questions for Ms. Garcia?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Dr. Wright.
Ms. Garcia, how long have two of you been married?
Since March 21st.
Okay. How long have you known Mr. Garcia?
We knew each other before when we were younger, and then we recently met up, and we just linked. We fell in love. I have a child. He was 8 months old, and my child didn't have a father, and Mr. Garcia went ahead and took that role from my son. He gave my son his last name. We made our family together. He has 4 kids. I have 5. So that's 9 kids that me and him have together. So we knew what we were doing when we decided to get married. We knew that this was the commitment of all of our children being together. So it meant a lot to us, and he was doing his hardest to go ahead and be sober, and I would definitely keep him on that right track to do so, because he needs to realize that his family is very, very important more than alcohol. So,
of the 9 kids, how many reside with the two of you in your home, or in y'all's home?
Zayden, our 16-month-old.
So that's the only one that's actually at the residence?
Yes. I have 4 children with my ex, and we have shared custody, so my children are always coming on the weekends. I work, and my child, my 15-year-old daughter, Juliana, so Bill helps me take care of my son during the weekend because she's always here. So I definitely have shared custody. His children are with his mother of his children, her mother. So they're with him. They're with her.
And when you all married, were you aware of the fact that he had, and I'm using the wrong terminology, but that he had an alcohol problem? Were you aware of that, ma'am?
Oh yes, most definitely. We all have our demons, sir. And unfortunately, we all have to confront them and deal with them. So, yes, sir, I did. And I am well aware of it.
Are you prepared to do anything to help him rid himself of that problem?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I am there to go ahead and help him do this. I know alcoholism is a sickness, it's a disease, and we all have to treat it that way. So I am most definitely going to go ahead and support my husband. He knows that I won't stand for him drinking, so that's just going to be it for me. This is his chance to go ahead and prove to himself and to his children that he's going to take this serious and that we are going to be a family and we're going to make this work. With both of us working now, we can do this together.
Okay, Ms. Garcia, thank you so very much, and thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Garcia? No? Thank you, Ms. Garcia. Mr. Garcia, you heard what your wife said. So what are your thoughts about alcohol treatment or your use of alcohol? What do you have to say about it?
Well, I'm willing to take any classes, anything out there to help me with my, on that thing that I have involved with. But she's absolutely right. With her help and love and support, you can conquer anything. I don't need to have this in my way anymore with my life. My children need me and I need them. I don't need them to look at their father and see him in orange. I can't do nothing for them. I'm good for nothing in here. I need to be out there to support them, show them a good role model. When they do make a mistake, teach them right from wrong so they don't end up in a situation like this. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they don't end up in a situation like this. And at least being clean, sober, and become a great father and a great husband.
And Mr. Garcia, how long have you been drinking alcohol?
I started when I was in my teenage years.
So you were a teen when you first started drinking?
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, if my fellow board members have no more questions, I'd like to give you an opportunity, Mr. Garcia, since this is your hearing, to make a final statement to the board as we're kind of coming to the end of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us that you haven't told us already?
Well, you guys pretty much know everything. I appreciate you guys' time and whatever judgment you guys make on me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Garcia. Now, the board is going to go into discussion and make a determination. We operate under the open meeting law, so our discussions are, you can listen in to our discussion. All we ask is that you just remain silent on the phone, and we'll have our discussion, and we'll get back to you shortly. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, it does appear that Mr. Garcia has a lot of strong family support, and we heard from his wife. He has employment waiting for him. And he has a relatively shorter involvement with the criminal justice system. But I am troubled with the alcohol use, and I am struggling with this one because of that. I hear that he wants to get out and be a role model for his family and contribute to his family. But I am concerned about the alcohol use and whatever happened on the story that we got attached to this warrant. Alcohol was involved there too. So I am open to hearing what my fellow board members have to say. Any comments? Dr. Wright.
Yes, ma'am. I agree with you. I am. Yes, he does have family support, as you've stated. But this alcohol problem is something that just not, I know he has, what, two certificates and working on the third certificate, AANA. I'm just not sure that he has really conquered that disease, as his wife referred to it, that illness of alcoholism. And I know that he wants to be a role model for his family, for the nine kids. But as long as that alcohol is hanging over his head, I'm just not convinced that he's ready. But I am prepared to hear from other board members before the vote.
I agree with my colleagues.
I
agree. All right. I'm going to make a motion then, based on warrant number 2017W2760, testimony from the Department of Corrections in our discussion with Mr. Garcia and input from Mrs. Garcia. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Garcia was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and has lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Mr. Garcia, your community supervision has been revoked, and you'll be released from the Department of Corrections on or about February 10th of 2018. Now, that might seem like a long time away, but you've got, it's about a little over 4 or 5 months from now. I beg your pardon, sure.
Well, allegations were false. It was just a false story.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. But we have other information as well that we have based this decision on. We do want to encourage you, because it sounds like you have a very strong family to go back to, but the alcohol is going to be something you're going to need to address for your whole life, the rest of your life. It's not a thing that just goes away. So please do use your remaining time and continue with your treatment. It sounds like you're on the right path, and you will get there. And thank you very much for participating today. Thank you, Ms. Garcia. And this hearing is concluded, and no further discussion may take place. If you hand the phone back to your CO3, Mr. Garcia, thank you.